open up that Bible you have to the gospel reading for this morning from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 1. We have a theme for the year here at Our Savior called Devoted to Serve. I'm in a series about the love languages of God. Today, I will be speaking about the love language of acts of service. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, as we take a close look at Jesus on the night that he was betrayed, give us a better understanding of what he was teaching his disciples and teaching each and every one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. You know how everything's bigger in Texas, right? There were two Texans who had ranches, and they were talking about their cattle ranches. And one asked the other, "Well, what's the name of your ranch?" And he said, "Triple X, double Y, single Z ranch." "Oh, that's impressive," he said. "What's the name of your ranch?" And he goes, "Well, my ranch is the rolling R, A, B, C, square D, circle S, bar U, rolling M, rainbows N, silver spur ranch." "Wow," the other one said, "it must be a huge ranch." And he says, "It is." He says, "How many cattle do you run on that ranch?" He goes, bows his head and disappointedly says, "Well, just a few." He goes, "Why just a few?" He said, "Well, we have trouble with the cattle surviving the branding." Yeah, you know, a big head, a lot of pride, and being egocentric can cause a lot of hurts and pains. It was once said that the bigger one's head is, the easier it is to fill his shoes. That means the smaller one's head is, pride, the more humble and contrite one is, the harder it is to fill their shoes. Today I want to speak to you about the hardest shoes to fill. They are the sandals of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in a series called The Love Languages. It's based upon a book by Gary Chapman, who has studied people and has come up with five love languages that we love to speak or we love to receive. One is words of affirmation. The second is quality time. The third is gifts. The fourth, acts of service. And the fifth is appropriate touch. Now, you may be really good at one of those love languages, a primary, maybe a secondary. But that doesn't mean that's the love language you love to receive. You know, no husband has ever been shot dead by his wife for doing dishes. Acts of service is that one love language that I'm going to say is pretty universal to be received. We all love acts of service. Like the children here, I know they love the fact that parents and grandparents wash their clothes, wash the dishes, and does acts of service for them. It's universal. It may not be something we love to do, but it's universally received. Acts of service. Well, the one who was very good at acts of service is Jesus. You might say, our God excels in this language. Now, the first week we were together, we spoke about our God who speaks words of affirmation to us. That's what the Bible is from cover to cover. God's love letter. He tells us that He loves us. He wants to be a part of our life. He tells us it's by grace through faith you are saved, not of works. Oh, good, I don't have to work for it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. He loves us so much, He would rather die than be without us. Words of affirmation. When it comes to quality time, our God excels at that. Adam and Eve. In the garden, God walked with him cool of the day in book of Genesis. In Revelation, God says, I'm coming back soon to take you to be where I am. Jesus spent quality time with those disciples. And when he ascended into heaven, 40 days after his resurrection, he said, I won't leave you as orphans. He gave us the full measure, manifestation of the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter and the guide within. When it comes to gifts, our God excels in the language of giving gifts. This is what the Bible tells us. Every gift, every perfect gift, comes down from the Father in heaven. The air that you breathe, the life that you have, your family, your job, everything is a gift from God. And of course, the greatest gift is the gift of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. And someday we will receive, by grace, through faith, the gift of eternal life. Acts of service. This is one that God, of course, excels at. And today we're going to learn from Jesus Himself, who is the prime example and illustration for us of this love language of acts of service. Let's take a closer look at it. Look with me and come along with me as we take a closer look at the washing of the disciples' feet. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. What an epitaph for Jesus. He loved them to the end. Wouldn't that be something if it was said about you? He or she loved until their end. Now, Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal, a very ancient, sacred meal, a meal where a leader would teach the people about God's love and acts of service, how God brought about the 10 plagues. How God led the children of Israel out of slavery. How God made sure the angel of death passed over the children of Israel. Now today, when we celebrate the Passover meal, it becomes so complicated, so long, people actually get lost in the Passover meal. But I want you to know, April 14th, at 6 o'clock downstairs on Monday, Thursday, we're going to celebrate a simple Seder, a simple Passover as Jesus celebrated it. I want to encourage you to plan to attend, to bring your family. Because did you know this? According to the Old Testament, everybody who comes to a Seder, everybody who comes to a Passover meal, needs to know the answer to one question. Do you know the answer? Do you know the question? Well, April 14th, 6 o'clock downstairs, you're going to learn about that one question and one answer that is directly associated with the Lord's Supper that we all celebrate every other weekend. Well, it was during this sacred meal where the acts of the Heavenly Father were discussed and learned. Let's take a look at what Jesus does. Actions speak louder than words. During the supper, verse 2, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, meaning Jesus was all-knowing. He knew that Judas already received 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Jesus also knew that Thomas would doubt him and that Peter would publicly deny him and call curses down 3 times that night. And all those disciples would flee and leave him behind. But yet, Jesus serves. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. Now, I kind of want to parallel this for you. Use this kind of as a parable. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, physical and spiritually, a physical washing and a spiritual washing. Jesus rose from the table, his own free will. Nobody told him he had to do this. He did it on his own free will. The very next day, Jesus would rise in his own free will and give himself. He laid aside his garments. On Good Friday, Jesus allowed himself to be stripped. Laid aside his garments. And taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Have you seen those pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross with just a loincloth? Just a towel? Tied it around his waist, verse 5, then he poured water into a basin. Jesus poured out his blood on the cross and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel, meaning he could have let them all air dry, washed the feet and just went on to the next one. But no, he took the towel and he wiped the feet. He finished the job. This was a job for a slave. This was a job for a Gentile who wouldn't be celebrating the Passover meal. At least, this would be a job for each of the disciples to do themselves. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and when you walk in, they take off their shoes? What should you do? Out of common courtesy, take off your shoes. These disciples were going to lounge for the Passover meal. Their feet were going to be in the face of the next person near them. The least they could have done was wash their own feet. It isn't said here, but that basin would be there. and there would be a towel there when they came in. The least these disciples could have done was wash their own feet, but they did not, even though it was part of the tradition. You know why? Luke tells us why. Because coming to the Passover meal, they were fighting amongst themselves. Can you believe people fight? And they were arguing who has the biggest head? Who is the greatest among us? Who is the goat? You can just imagine Jesus, really? Here is God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, Emmanuel. God is with us, 100% God and 100% man. He's with the disciples for 3.5 years, and all they can argue about is who's the best. And so when they walk in, they're not going to wash their feet. That's something somebody else should do for me. So Jesus gets up and he washes their feet. Notice what happens. Verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" I'd like to say, duh. Yeah, it started to blow his mind, and you can just see the wheels clicking. Wait a minute. Why is he doing this? And Jesus knew this, for Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." It's only afterward that they realize that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. That God Almighty comes to earth to serve us. That's why if you open up that hymnal in front of you, it doesn't say for worship services. It says divine service 1, 2, 3, and 4. What we are here experiencing is divine service. Meaning God serves us. This is his house. It's not yours. He forgives your sins. You don't forgive your own sins. He renews and strengthens you through your baptism and the Lord's Supper, where he washes you, renews and strengthens and feeds you. That's what God does for us, divine service. He washes our feet. And an example of this is found in the foot washing on Maundy Thursday. Notice how Jesus explains it. Verse 8. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." See, Peter is Mr. Spiritual. When Jesus said he's going to Jerusalem to be arrested and crucified, Peter says, stands up, "Never, Lord, I know better than you." And here's Jesus washing their feet. "You don't do this, Lord. I know better than you. Don't do it, Jesus." Have you ever told God what to do? Or what he should do for you? We love to press the button. Service! All right, God, let me tell you. That's our sinful nature with our big head and pride. We like to think we can tell God what to do. "You will never wash my feet." Listen to the words of Jesus. "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." This is something God has to do for us. Here's that spiritual realm. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Okay, Lord, let's do it all. Telling him what to do. It's amazing, the big head that Peter had. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed, the one who is prepared, took a shower, took a bath, got prepared for the Passover meal, put a little cologne on, doesn't need to wash again. Only his feet. He's been walking around Jerusalem where it's dusty. No paved roads, no closed toed shoes, open sandals, and a lot of doo-doo on the ground. So by the time they got to this place, their feet probably stunk and were very dirty. Does not need to wash except for his feet. If you're here this morning and you've been baptized, you're a born-again Christian, you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and obviously you do, you're here, you're watching online, you're clean, God has washed you, but over the last 7 days, you've gotten dirty, like your feet, and you need to have your feet washed on a regular basis. That's why when you go to church, you stand up and the pastor goes, as a called and ordained servant of the Word of God, I proclaim His forgiveness upon you. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we say that we have no sin, our big head, we deceive ourselves. But if we humble ourselves and confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. That's why in our liturgy this morning, we learn that the Holy One is in a high and lofty place, but He dwells with those who have a contrite and lowly spirit. Sunday morning, when you celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we have confession and absolution, it's Jesus washing your feet. Even though you're a child of God and have been completely cleaned. You see the symbolism? You see how this act of Jesus is a spiritual thing that covers us also. We have been washed. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. Because there was one in this crowd that had a big head, and he let it just get bigger and bigger. It was Judas. We know he received the 30 pieces of silver. But yet Jesus washed him and forgave him and showed him love. To the end, Jesus reached out to Judas and said, don't do this. And Judas is going, I don't like a foot washer. Let me tell you what we should take home from this story. Every one of you, when you leave God's house this morning, you can be great in the eyes of God. Jesus continues and he says, listen, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so. But I have showed and given you an example. And if I've done this for you, you do it for others. A new command I give you. Think about it. A new command. Monday, Thursday. New command I give you. Now we celebrate baptism here in the Lutheran Church. We call it a sacrament because God commanded it. Go and make disciples by baptizing. A sacrament has an element, water, applied with God's word. The power is in the word. And you put water and God's command together. God serves, forgives your sins, gives the Holy Spirit if you don't already have it, makes you a child of God, an heir of heaven. He does it all in baptism. It's commanded. Another sacrament we celebrate is the Lord's Supper. Why? It's commanded by God. Do this in remembrance of me. bread and wine and grape juice connected to God's word. The power is not in the bread and wine and grape juice. It's in God's word. And when that's applied to simple elements and we receive it and take it in, it becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ for us. We're renewed, we're strengthened, we're forgiven. We commune with the Creator of heaven and earth. It's a sacrament. What about foot washing? We have a day we call the New Command, Thursday. There is an element, a basin of water. Is it connected to God's word? Yes, do this as I have done it for you. Is foot washing a sacrament? No. Forgiveness is not granted. This is not an example where Jesus wants us as a church to do it weekly. This is an illustration of servanthood. He wants his disciples to be devoted to serve. I'm not saying foot washing is a sacrament. We know that because the early church does not continue with this tradition. The early church would gather, Acts 2:42, for the apostles' teaching, from the word of God, for prayer, for fellowship, and the Lord's Supper, breaking of bread. They did not continue with foot washing. It was an illustration of we should be willing to be the least to be the greatest, Jesus explains. We know that because in the early church, what would people do? Serve one another. If somebody has a need, I would fill that need. If somebody was lonely, I'd be there for them. If somebody was naked, I would clothe them. Somebody was in prison, I'd go see them. Acts of service, whatever you do for these, the least of these, my little ones, you do for me, Jesus said. It's a universal love language that everyone can share that language. Jesus finishes this day with, you're great. You're blessed if you do these things. Listen to the words of Martin Luther King, who was named after Martin Luther of the 16th century. Everyone can be great because everyone can serve. You don't need a degree. You don't need a lot of money. You can just serve. All you need is a soul full of grace and a heart overflowing with love. You know, when I look out here, I just see a bunch of great people. Listen to this poem. I think everybody here can relate to this. Have you ever changed a diaper? Raise your hand. My turn in the nursery. Last Sunday was my turn in the nursery to work. My heart wasn't in it. My feelings were hurt. A child from its mother did not want to part, and it cried a lot with its broken heart. I prayed that soon the hour would end, that I would relax, no more children to tend. Soon the hour was over. It felt good to be free. I said once a month was too much for me. The very next Sunday, as I sat in the pew, I heard a very good sermon, but visitors were few. But down came a woman, and her soul was saved. She was the mother of that crying babe. Then it dawned on me, that I'd been a part of the one being saved, giving God her heart. From that day on, I would never dread working in the nursery while souls are fed. Whatever you do, for these the least, you do unto me, Jesus says. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, that universal language that we all love is acts of service when they're done to us. But on a Thursday night so long ago, you asked if we would lead by an example. You asked if you do call me teacher and Lord, allow me to teach this. Will you please serve? Whether that's washing feet, changing a diaper, picking up trash, singing in the choir, teaching children, cutting down a tree, mowing the lawn, painting a wall, helping in a service, putting the bread and the wine on the altar, putting water in the baptismal font, calling somebody on the phone and saying, I miss you, putting an offering in the offering plate. They're all acts of service. May we never forget, as we leave your house this morning, everything we do is for you. We're part of the body, and the right hand needs the left hand. And those more prominent things, we would say, are not as important or is more important than the least things, but we all work together. We thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.